All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, October 19th, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes long and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters the queue, well, right now we'll have a way you can raise your hand. So if no one raises your hand for a question, a comment, or a correction, then we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take a note of the book, chapter, verse, so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Most holy, merciful Father, we see the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon both the saved and the unsaved, that being a gift of thy mercy upon mankind, as we realize how desperately wicked we are as a human race, and how rebellious we are, and we deserve none of these things. We deserve thy wrath, but we have found grace in thy eyes through thy word, and we thank you for so great a salvation. We ask that you continue to bless us as we continue looking into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me get out of here. Okay, we completed Matthew 23 and 24, so we got a lot of information that's going to lead us into the book of Revelation. I know I mentioned we were going to get into the calendar, and I think I realized I made a mistake. We have to do Matthew 25 first. But I do think we might get to the calendar today anyway, because I think it's going to be quite quickly to go through Matthew 25. Matthew 25 ultimately is really just one big parable concerning the end of the world. And it gives us a time clue of certain time periods anyway. And again, I'm going to identify as we come upon them. They may not make too much sense at the moment right now, but as we continue on our study, you'll start to see these things, and we'll put them together little by little. And, you know, I worked quite a bit on this calendar, and from time to time I review it and tweak it, and time to time I find a little error. Maybe this should be here and that should be there. So, you know, we'll continue to work and continue to come back and review and make sure we're, you know, faithful to God's word, as faithful as we can possibly be. Okay, so we're going to pick up in Matthew 25. Remember, the Lord has just told us and warned us about the great tribulation, about the falling away, about the false Christ, false prophets, that would lead astray even the elect if it were possible. Rhetorical, not possible. So now he's going to give us a parable, and this will lead us into Revelation. But again, we're going to look at the calendar. There are quite a few things to look at. We can look at numbers, certain numbers in the calendar that'll help prepare us as we go into the book of Revelation. Matthew 25, first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. But let me just look at the last line of Matthew 24. Let's read the last line. But an evil, I'll pick up on 48. This is Matthew 24, 48. But an if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, of course, the bridegroom is a picture of Christ. The body of Christ is the bride. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, of course, the oil burns the wick and maintains a constant burning without destroying the wick so quickly, and of course it gives light, and of course that represents the light of the gospel. So The foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now, going out to meet him, we're going to see that picture develop quite a bit in the book of Revelation. And this idea of midnight, again, this is another clue. Midnight comes up a lot, and it's telling us something. And this is a big clue right here, which is going to really tie us into a time period. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, before we continue to the next paragraph here in 25, let's take a look at least there be not enough for us and you. If it'll open. Okay, there it goes. Okay, this can be understood in the Greek. Can be understood as to be content, lest there be not content between us and you, because there's going to be contention. Why? Because the oil that we have, the gospel that we have, is not a gospel that they want, and that's really what God is speaking about here. So, be not enough is to, or to suffice, or to be sufficient. So, to be content, I think that is really the understanding here. Therefore, we can read it this way. Lest there be not content for us and you. Or inserting the negative into the word, lest there be contention for us and you. Now, looking in at 3 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, "I wrote unto the church, but the Elapathists, who love to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therein." Now, obviously, they didn't appreciate or like the gospel. You know, we looked at the gospel message problem last at the end of our study last week, and we went over quite a bit, I think we went a half hour over. And we saw all the false gospels. And there's one thing that they all have in common, every single one of them. And I don't know that I've seen a false gospel that didn't have that had this proper understanding of the word or proper sending out of the word. And that is the salt. They all have that in common. They don't want the salt of the gospel. They don't want to know about hell and damnation. They don't want to know what they might be saved from. And this permits them to build their own image of God and be very comfortable and not too concerned. But of course, once the body of Christ brings forth the true gospel, it upsets them. It brings contention. It's a problem. And again, that's what the picture is here. So wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither do he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And we'll look at Isaiah, this will be the last one we'll look at, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. In that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, Christian, to take away our reproach." So there is a picture. And remember, you know, we're going to read about the woman And again, the number seven identifies with the perfection of what God has in view. And the woman identifies, of course, with the harlot in the book of Revelation. We're going to see that as we continue to go along. And the man that they take hold of course, is the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the bread, and we will eat our own bread. They're not happy with the bread of life. They want to eat their own manna, their own bread. And they want to wear their own apparel. They want to have their own covering. And remember, we spoke about the covering being that corporate body. And now the final end of that church is a church apostate and absent of the Holy Spirit. So we'll wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Let us be called Christian. That'll take away our reproach. We'll call ourselves Christian. Okay, so therein is the problem. And again, I don't know, the warnings are just relentless. And we just touched the surface of the warnings. It's constant. You know, you go look and read through the book, the Epistle of Jude. Warnings, same kind of warnings, you know. Beware of the false prophets, the false teachers. Damnable heresies being brought in. Same thing with 1st and 2nd Peter. Same thing. Constantly warning us of the problem of the false teachers. And again, right here in the very beginning of the building of the church, already there is a problem in a church going apostate. People taking over, coming in to spy out on liberty. Okay, so back to Matthew 25. Okay, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one, and of course the picture of the man in going into the far country is Christ, the Son of Man, Son of God. And he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid it, his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. Besides them, his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And again, there is the servant. Okay, so that brings us, there's a little bit more. Let's go to the next paragraph here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separateth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one at the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto those on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Okay, you know, so we are receiving the gospel. We now have the job of getting that gospel out. And, you know, we do it, you know, maybe we only got, what is it called, one, I forget what it was called, one pence or a penny or something, and maybe some two and others five, you know. So the thing is to share this gospel. Share it in your family, of course, first and foremost. That's where it starts. Do the best you can. Share it from time to time when any opportunity arises. And if you're capable of teaching Bible studies, you should be going out there and teaching Bible studies. Okay, so that brings us to the end of Matthew 24 and 25. And we're now going to go take a look. And let me go back into that because I need to get to the calendar. Well, I'll come a different way to get to the calendar. Okay, now I'm going to post this tonight or tomorrow morning when I update the page and put this program up there. And there's a lot going on here. We're going to cover some of these pieces. And there are key dates, very key dates you want to look at. You know, we start off with the fall of man. There is an individual that did a study quite some years ago, and the study brought him to believe that the world was 6,000 years old. But that just doesn't work. It doesn't work with history. The tie lines from the Bible into history don't work at all. But there is another study that was done, and we do have a copy of that study up on the website on our page. Let me see if I can open that up. Hang on a second. I don't know if it's sharing this. Let's see. Okay, let's see if this opens up. Okay, it did open up. Okay, up on our page, okay, you know, I had mentioned we have a study of Mark. It's my first study. That study, my teacher taught that study back in 1978, somewhere around there. And I was blessed to be able to have found his ministry and become part and listening to that Bible study and participate with Bible studies around the world with hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people. We used to go to Bible conferences every year, spend a week away, the whole family, and really have a good time. But in any event, this study of Mark, again, was the most blessed study I've ever received. It really has given me great in-depth and understanding of the Gospels, gave me appreciation how to interpret the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible is its own interpreter, and so on and so forth. We've spoken about these things over the weeks we've been talking about the Lord. And so, again, the study of Gospel of Mark, you should listen to at least one study a day. You know, I still listen to it again. I'm listening to it right now. I'm up around 200 somewhere. And it's in my car, and every time I start my car up, it's 25 minutes long, so it's not that long. You can, if you can spend an hour a day, that then you can listen to two studies, but one study a day could be sufficient. People should be reading their Bibles, so you should be reading the book of Revelation since we're heading into that, and just get familiar with the contents and the different pictures that God has put in there. Now, we also have a link to the Bible. Okay, so you can have the Bible online here if you want to use that. Everybody, of course, should have their own Bibles. We also have a lot of music to live by. Anybody that comes in early to our class here, we do play some Christian music, and all of that music is on this page. You can download it. Also, this was a great minister. He died quite some years ago, but his ministry is still going, and it's going strong, and it's Walk with the King today and Be a Blessing. So that's real interesting. It'll really, really give you a lot of blessings. Now, family radio. I've been listening to family radio, and this is how I found all this. Going back to, around 70, 78, somewhere around there, around that time. And it's around that time when I started to feel the call to come to Christ. And so family radio was a great ministry. Things fell apart around 2011, 2012. We'll talk about that a little later. And I lost family radio. It was no longer available in my area. But they did come back up, and they're pretty much teaching all over the world, and they got an internet, so they're really teaching all over the world through the internet. But and it's really kind of a blessing. That's why I put it up here. A lot of the great music I used to listen to. A lot of music I used to listen to I've already downloaded from another time. So music that they don't even have, I have. And there's good moral teaching. A lot of good moral teaching. There's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. We've talked about the difference between wood and hay and stubble. And that burns up at the end. It's stone that lasts. And we need to be stone cutters, stone builders, building up the lively stones, edifying, building up. Okidome is the Greek word on that. Okidome, the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, the Lord being the chief cornerstone, we being living stones, built upon that cornerstone, a dwelling place for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me. So anyway, getting back to that, what I have found, I've been listening now to family radio for about 4 or 5 months now, and I have found that there's no salt. But it's not a church, and they do have good moral teaching, and they could have good music, and it's sad that they lost the salt. But if you want, you can get a blessing. I've been to churches that, visiting a church and seeing if I want to go there and discovering they're apostate and leave and go to another church. And I've done that many, many times. But even for the period of time that I would even go to those churches and listen in to the teaching and maybe in Bible verses, I still was fed, because I'm fed by Bible verses. I'm not necessarily fed by teachers. Of course, you would expect to be fed by teachers, the milk of the word if you're young in Christ, and the meat of the word if you kind of got your teeth in there and you're able to eat the meat, spiritual teeth, so to speak. Okay, further down on the page, there it is, okay. Now this, I'm going to lay out this calendar. And as we go through this calendar, you can trust my my research. And this a lot of this comes from a lot of other people. And some of it has come from myself, many of us working together, trying to work through this number through the Bible, the calendar in the Bible. But it all rests upon a study which is only about 8 or 10 pages. It's a very small booklet, and it's called The Biblical Calendar of History by Harold Camping. And if you really want to check out these numbers, you go read that, because then you really start to understand how these numbers came into play. But without understanding how these numbers get into play, without going into the deeper study of that part, you could still be blessed, and you'll still see how strong it is that these dates that seem to be coming through on the Bible is unbelievable. Now, of course, there's also, we've discussed the first principles of Bible study. We started a study of talking about the first principles of Bible study, but this is a book, a small book. It's probably about 20 pages. It's not long. It's a nice study on the first principles of Bible study. Again, I strongly suggest everybody read both of these books. Even if you don't get too intensely into the calendar side, you should at least read through it. Then, of course, there's the harmony of the Gospels, and that, of course, is the study of Mark, I think, I recall. Now, the study of Gospel of Mark, what is the harmony of the Gospel is a layout and just laying out how the Gospels are harmonized. So if you wanted to do a harmony study, you know, you would look at the temptation of Jesus, for instance. You'd see that it's recorded in Matthew. Mark has recorded it, and Luke has recorded some information. There are some things that maybe John just recorded these things and no one else. There's other things. The preexistence of Christ was found in John. You don't find that anywhere else. But the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph, you find that in Matthew. So this is very beneficial. It's a very powerful tool in order to, when you read the Bible. I strongly suggest anybody who's already read through the Bible at least once or twice, then start to go read through it in a harmony way. You know, read it through. Use this chart to go through the entire, all four Gospels, to bring the whole picture together. Because God gives us pictures and points of view from different vantage points. And I think I mentioned this before. It's like a car accident. You have three or four witnessing it, and they're all from different positions, and they get a different point of view. Collectively, you put it together, and you got the whole picture. But one may be a little different than the other, and so on and so forth. And that's what you got with the Gospels. But when you look at the chronology of the way, for instance, the book of Matthew was put together, and you read through it, there is a big picture that God has given you. You're looking for that big picture. You know, and it takes a while reading through that book or all the Gospels numerous times before you start to really be able to look at that big picture. And especially if you've been learning the meaning of certain words to get the spiritual pictures, the parables, the historical parables, then, you know, the picture grows and grows and grows. And you get a particular point of view and a particular picture. Then when you go and read through Mark, you get a different picture. You get the same basic information, you get a little more added, but you get a different point of view. And God, in the big picture, is another picture that's a little different than the first picture in Matthew. Same thing with Mark and then with John. And then when you do a harmony study and put all four books together, now you're starting to get a different picture. And again, it's all bringing you to the gospel. It's all bringing you to the life and death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection and the return of God and so on. This is really kind of powerful, okay? So it's a tool. It's there. I strongly suggest people to use it. Hey, can you go see what Tim wants? Chris? So it's a pretty strong tool. Okay, so I suggest all these tools are good. Now, we also have the table of contents, okay? And this is the table of contents I put together. Of the book of Revelation, which breaks it up into pictures, okay? The prelude to the book of Revelations, first principles, parables, latter rain, all that other stuff. We're coming to the end of that now. Matter of fact, we just ended. Then chapter 1, Revelation of Jesus Christ, the message to the seven churches, John's vision of the Son of Man. Each one of these pictures we want to look at very carefully. And what we're going to discover, the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order. The book of Revelation is written very dimensionally. And so God will give us a picture here. And then he'll give another picture here and another picture here, and we'll puzzle it together. Okay? And I think the calendar that we're going to look at helps us to puzzle it together. As a matter of fact, I know it helps us. And I'll use that in order to do that. So hang on one second. Okay, so as I was saying, this gives you pictures, and again, we have to kind of puzzle it together. It is not in chronological order. I've heard a lot of people teach in the book of Revelation, and they really try hard to make it to go one point after another. It just doesn't work, because it's not the way it's written. It's just not written that way. And so we have to be very careful as we look at this and look at each one of these pictures individually and then see how we can puzzle them together. Because, again, it's very dimensional. And I'll tell you, if I was to try to take this and try to put it together in a fashion where it does work, where it would be chronological, I don't think I could do that. And if I could, it would be kind of combobulated all over the place. Because, look, at God gives us, for instance, in chapter 16, he talks about the seven wraths. Vials of wrath. And in another place, chapter 6, he talks about the seven seals. And the seventh seal, first six seals is in chapter 6, and then a little later you get the seventh seal that comes up. I'm not sure exactly where that's at. Might be the first woe, but it's somewhere else in here. I'll look to see if I have to correct this, because it doesn't look like I put it in there. But anyway, the seventh seal, it is, there it is, the seventh trumpet begins to sound. I think that identifies with the seventh seal, if I remember, but we'll find out as we go forward with that. So again, it's not written in chronological order, and if you try to understand it in chronological order, you're going to miss out on the timing of things. And that's really the key part of this study, is to understand the timing of the Lord's return, and the events take place before the Lord's return. And that's what we're looking for. Okay, so back to here. So these are our study aids. I'm going to put today's calendar, it'll be in PDF form, right here under the PDF aids, okay, on this page. So you'll have it. And of course, we have the MP3s here of all our studies, and we have the video recordings of all our studies all on this page. All right, let's get back to looking at the calendar. Now, the biblical calendar that you hopefully you'll eventually look at and read through, at least understand it, even if you don't really diligently start to tear it apart. But, you know, I encourage everyone to tear everything apart. We should question everything. Everything we should question. So, but as we look at this, he came up to a conclusion that the world was created in 11,013 B.C. And I come to realize that was an error. He's got the right date. You know, I've always been on board with that date, and I've looked at it many times. I've studied through it. I've been through this so many times, and, you know, I found the numbers very accurate. So I'm satisfied with it. But what 11:13 is the fall of man. We don't know how long Adam was in the Garden of Paradise and Eve. We have no clue on how long that is. Remember, Adam named all the animals, and there's a lot of animals out there. And I'm sure that took a lot of time. And there's a lot of other things I'm sure going on that the Lord doesn't share with us. And then, you know, it looks like, you know, he created him and took, don't eat off the tree. He went and eat off the tree. Next thing you know, he gets cast out of the garden. And it's like it only took a few days. Well, not so. Just like Cain and Abel. You know, anybody, when you start to really work through this, you discover Cain and Abel were not the first children of Adam and Eve. They might have been 300-400 years after the fall of man. But they clearly were not. There was already people all over the place. And you know, you have children that are weaned from a family, they're weaned from the same time period, and they go out into the world, and Adam and Eve continue to have more children, and they go out into the world, and they continue to have more children, and they go out into the world. So as people intermarried, generally speaking, it wasn't necessarily the idea or the fact that they were marrying people within the, you know, their own family that was weaned together, you know. They maybe married people that they may kind of knew, or maybe not even knew, but of course we're all family of Adam and Eve. Eve is the mother of us all. And God didn't curse the bloodlines for intermarriage within families. Later on, of course, that took place, and that was to protect the family, of course. And we didn't live 900 years like they did back then. So, you know, we live 100 years if we're really blessed. We might get 100 years, but, you know, 60, 70 years, 80 years, 90 possibly. And you know, we have a family. Maybe we can have 10, 12 children. You know, Adam and Eve had hundreds, if not thousands, of children just between Adam and Eve alone. And the same thing with their children all the way through until the flood. And then God limited the age of man. But anyway, my point is the fall of man took place at 11,013, and then he cursed. God cursed the earth for man's benefit, because man could not continue to, and remember, he was cast out of the garden, so the garden, I think the garden is separate from this earth, because, again, you had a creation that was perfect, and Adam and Eve was perfect, and they were put into the garden. They were given the free will, and they made the wrong decision. God knew they were going to do that. So whether they had free will or not, that's questionable, I guess. Of course, we don't have free will. We may have free will, we think, whether we're going to put on brown shoes or black shoes today and so on and so forth. But when it comes down to the Lord, we don't have free will to choose for the Lord. The Lord makes us the willing to do of his good pleasure. The Lord calls us and draws us to himself. The Lord creates in us a new heart and renews a right spirit in us. We have no partner in that. We're just receiving the blessings of God. And again, you know, there are gospels out there that reject what I just said. But this is the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. I'll stick with the Bible. So anyway, getting back to the fall of man. So when man was cast out, what did God do? He gave the earth a history. So we could, you know, they have things that they claim millions of years ago. Maybe, maybe not. You know, I don't think that their science is that good, that they're able to carbon date things that accurately. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, in order to carbon date something, you have to have something from that period to carbon date it to. So you have to have something you already know has a certain point in time, and then you could do a carbon date with something against that. And I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know how that works, but that's what I heard, okay? Nevertheless, you know, if there were, you know, certain kinds of animals and things, 200,000 years ago, that's because God made a history of that and put it in there. And he tied one end against the other. And that's an interesting idea, too. I thought some ideas, but they're ideas, so I'm not going to share them. And others might think ideas, but if you can't prove it from the Bible, we're not going to teach it. But in any event, God says the earth has an apparent age, you know, and everything of old, you know, goes right back to the creation. And again, when he cursed it, he gave it that history. So, and we don't know what else God is doing. We're not the only thing God is doing. It's not like he has nothing else to do. Okay, there may be other things and other creations within our own universe. We don't know. Or different dimensions, different places, different kind of a career. I have no clue. Nobody knows because he doesn't tell us. And what God is concerned with in the Bible through his word, what he's concerned with is his children and bringing his children home to him through his word. It's to bring the word of God to share the sacrifice that God made, that God came into the world and put himself in a position to die with sinners like us. I mean, that's an amazing thought. You know, it's unrighteous for him to have even stubbed his toe. And we read something like that in the angel, in the 40 days and 40 nights when he was tempted up on the mountain and the devil was tempting him. And he said, cast yourself down, your angels will catch you, don't worry about it. And I think he said something like the stub the toe or something of that nature. I'm not too sure, but I think he did. But in any event, so we have a world, and the fall of man was 1113 BC. That brings us to a total time period going up to our period, okay? If we go from 13,000 BC and we come all the way up if we come down here, 13,000 BC, all the way to 1988. So it is 13,000 years exactly. From the fall of man all the way to 1988. And 1988 is what's called the beginning of sorrows. That's a tie-in. We know that the fig tree, which is the nation of Israel, is the key to the timing of the return of Christ. That's the sign, the fig tree in leaf. And so that fig tree in leaf, we know, took place exactly on May 21st, 1948, exactly. We also know that the beginning of sorrow started 2,300 days after that. And that's a period going to 1988, exactly 2,300 years to the day, including May 20th and May 21st is the beginning of the next period. Okay, so it's exactly 2,300 years. And yet the world's existing was 13,000 years exactly. And 13 is that hidden number in the Bible. I know some of us were looking at this and thinking, you know, well, 12 is fullness and 13 is super fullness. I don't think so. I don't think that that's what that means, but it could. I could be wrong on this one. I think 13 is more the hiding of ultimately of Judas, of the unsaved amongst us. I think that's where the 13 comes in. I may be wrong, but I think it is. You know, if you look in study the tribes of Israel, there are actually 13 tribes. One of the tribes broke up into two and became 13 tribes. But God never leads out and lists all 13 tribes together. He'll always leave one out. So he'll only list 12 at a time. And we know there are 12 apostles, yet Paul claimed to be the 13th apostle. There's no doubt about that. Nevertheless, Judas was lost and he was replaced, and then Paul became the 13th. And again, there it is, that number, 13, hidden around 12, 12 being the fullness. And 12 times 12 is 144 times the completeness of what God has in view, which is 1,000. That's 144,000, and we're going to look into that a little later in time. And anybody who's read the book of Revelation knows that 144,000 has a meaning. And it's in the book of Revelation. And people have a lot of strange ideas on what that means and what that is. It's not a literal number. It's the completeness. It's a figurative language. It's like a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Okay, now, I'm not going to get too deep into this on this part, because as we go through our studies, we're going to be looking into the calendar back and forth and trying to place things and make sure things harmonize and things work. But this is something you can take a look at and kind of work through. But I'm going to break down some of these numbers now. You know, there's a very important picture of the shipwreck. I don't remember whether we read the shipwreck or not. I don't think we did. 276 souls saved. And that brings us to the winter. And I remember now I wanted to go back to look at the winter. So we will be looking at that soon, the 276 souls saved in the winter. And that's the shipwreck. And that brings us into a picture here during the Great Tribulation, where the shipwreck, the church is a picture of, the ship is a picture of the church, and the shipwreck, breaks up and they have to leave the ship and swim for land. And of course they got into an island. An island is a mountain. It's an island is a piece of land that comes up out of the sea. It's a mountain. And so there's a lot of pictures here, a lot of spiritual pictures as we go through this. We look at 2,300 days, okay, which is, and there's also 23 years. 23 years times 365.25 days equals exactly 8,400 days. We add the 2,300 days and we come up with 70 weeks, and we're going to be looking at the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. And that brings us to 153, which is the fish that were caught, the great fish, in John chapter 21. And then if we take the 153 and we count from 17, which is the number of heaven, okay, if we add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 17 together, we come to 153, which is an interesting picture. The harmony is really, really fascinating, and, you know, it's overwhelming. You got the 1,335 days. We're going to read about that in the book of Revelation. If you add 1,335 together, you come to 13. You had another period of time called 1,290 days, and you add the 1,290 together, and you come up with 12. You got the Jubilees, the birth of Jacob, if we go negatively going back, the birth, because the Jubilee, the first Jubilee, is up here at 457 B.C., where Ezra brings the law to Jerusalem. That's the very first Jubilee. And there are 10 Jubilees from that first Jubilee to the birth of Christ. There are 40 more Jubilees from 7 B.C. going to 1994. A lot of things fall on 1994. You know, when we were doing this study, many people were working on this, trying to puzzle through the Bible, all students of the Bible. And, almost all of us thought that maybe 1994 was going to be the end of the world. And, if you were asked back then, we would say, well, from a scale of 1 to 10, we're pretty much on a 9 here. But we never were 100%, okay? But, of course, 1994 came and went, and then we started to look. Well, okay, we knew there was other dates. There were dates falling in going all the way back to 2011. There was something that was failed, and they didn't realize back then that there was a date for 2017. That came later on. But anyway, we've been puzzling through this for a long, long time. And what we discovered, that there are seals in the Bible. And the seals are ultimately focusing in on the timing. And God opens one seal at a time. The first seal he opens up, and we're going to get into this, it's the gospel. The gospel coming forward. That's the first seal he breaks. And we're going to look on each one of those seals, and we're going to discover that certain seals identify with the revealing of a certain time period. And in almost all the cases, with the exception of a couple, let's say half of the cases, half of the numbers, couldn't be seen until we passed through other numbers. But some numbers were right on mark right away. We saw them right away as soon as we started to work through the calendar. And again, we have to puzzle all of this together, working through the language. The language has to tie into all this, okay? I put this calendar together. We have Israel becomes a nation. It's the first watch. It's evening. It's the fig tree and leaf, May 21st. The second seal reveals the red horse, which is the first trumpet and the fifth trumpet. This is midnight. Remember I told you midnight plays an important role. We're going to find that out. Midnight, which is the second watch, and God brings forth the first woe, the beginning of sorrows, starting in May 21st. So the red horse is identifying with blood, judgment. And that's the beginning of sorrows. And then we come into the Great Tribulation, the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Let me back up, because the first seal we look at is the white horse. And the white horse we see is the New Testament era. Christ riding, the white horse, and he's conquering and conquering, coming through the world from, coming all the way back to 29 AD from his baptism, go all the way up until the end of the world. And so the red horse, we're going to see that identifies with judgment. It brings us to the picture of the beginning of sorrows, a 2300-day period. Then we're going to see the black horse. At that point now, we have a dead church. We have a corporate body that has gone apostate. There are the second trumpet and the sixth trumpet applies here. And the black horse, of course, and the cock crowing, which is the third watch, which is the come out of her, my people. It's the second woe. And we see 1994 is the beginning of tribulation. Great tribulation. And if we take the numbers 1994 and add it together, we come to 23. Come out of my people. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 is the purpose of God. 2 plus 1 plus 1 is 4. Again, now we come now to the picture of 4, universality. That's tying into the year 2011 there, 2011 AD. The 2 and a 1, is the adding of the 2001 AD, which is 3. 3 plus 4 is 7 and brings us to perfection. I mean, these numbers don't... This is just the tip of the iceberg, by the way. There's much, much more. I mean, it goes on pages and pages of stuff. But those numbers become more complex. And it's a deeper reading because God does some mathematics for us in some areas. And then we follow that plan that he gave us and the way he looked at the mathematics, and we apply them in different areas, and these are the things we come up with. Okay, but anyway, we're going to look at all these things as we go through. But going back here, the birth of Jacob was born on a Jubilee year. Jacob's name was changed to Israel on a Jubilee year. Israel enters into Canaan on a Jubilee year. David becomes king of Israel on a Jubilee year. Christ was born on a Jubilee year. 1994 is the Jubilee of Jubilees, the 50th Jubilee. And a 50th Jubilee is a Sabbath Jubilee. Remember, it's 7 sevens plus 1. It's 7 times 7 is 49. We're going to read that when we look into the book of Daniel. So it's 7 times 7 is 49, plus 1 is 50. It's 50 years. That 50th year is called a Sabbath year. It also identifies as the eighth day. Remember, Christ was risen on the eighth day, in a sense, by changing the Sabbath from a seventh-day Sabbath to a first-day Sabbath. So it brings it to 8 days. There's so many pictures with that number 7, 8. But in any event, Jubilee, this is 1994, is the beginning of the Jubilee of Jubilees, a Sabbath Jubilee, a Sabbath years of 70 of 50 years. And what does God tell us? We read in Matthew, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath or the winter. Okay? And we know 1994 is the Sabbath Jubilee. We know that's when the flight, sometime in that time period after 1994, we're going to take flight. And And again, we're going to go through all this. So let's just go through some of these things. I kind of broke some of these things down, you know, in little pieces to take a look at from a different vantage point. And I do want to review these things because we may not have that opportunity to look into the great depth as we're going through the book of Revelation, but we're going to be constantly coming into this calendar. You got a period of time. Look at the period of time between Gideon dying in 1207 and Christ born, exactly 1,200 years. Not 1,201, not 1,199, no, exactly 1,200 years. Going from the fall of man right up to the beginning of sorrows, 1988, is exactly 13,000 years. 13. And not 13,001 years, not 12,999 years. No, 13,000. All these numbers are very accurate. And again, you can check it out. I've given you all of the tools to check it out. You go look at that calendar, and then you can start working backwards and into these numbers, and you'll find for yourself. Coming from the fall of man, okay, going all the way back till 1994, which is the beginning of the Great Tribulation, is 13,006 years. Six is the number of mankind, remember? 13,000, that number, 1,000 and 13, very important numbers in the Bible. That 13, you know, again, is the hidden number in the Bible. And again, I look at it, that picture, potentially, and maybe I'll come to a different understanding at another time, but right now my thinking is that number 13 is really identifying with you know, the body of Christ and the enemy, you know, like Judas was amongst them. You know, remember Jesus told the disciples that amongst there's a devil amongst us. Is it I, Lord? No, is it I? They asked. And then he revealed that it was Judas by dipping the sup, dipping his bread into the sup. And so anyway, interesting numbers. If we go from the fall of man to Jacob to the flood, it's exactly 6,023. 23 identifies with judgment, 6 identifies with man, 1,000 with the completeness of what God has in view. If we go from the flood, which is 4990, if it goes 7,000 years, we end up at 2001. And 2001 is where, come out of her, my people. The cry goes out, go ye out and meet him. Midnight. That's the picture. Okay? And again, we're going to be looking at this as we go through. I just want to review some of these numbers. So, you know, there's a lot here to really take in, and it takes a long time to absorb it and puzzle through it and feel comfortable with it. So we got that 7,000 years, I think I mentioned, from the flood all the way to come out of her. That's what we were just talking about. 7,000, the number of perfection, 7, the 1,000, the completeness, 7,000. We have the 10 jubilees between Ezra and Christ. We have another 40 jubilees, which is 2,000 years. Again, the 2 is the number of the church. It could be the body of Christ or it could be the corporate church. We look at the context to discover which 2 is in view. And this is 2, identifying with the body of Christ, 2 years, and I mean two, the number 2, and then 1,000, the completeness of the complete body of Christ up until that point period. And God breaks numbers up to 144,000 and a multitude that cannot be numbered. And again, now we go a little below that, and we see in red the 50 jubilees, the Jubilee of Jubilee from 94. We've got a picture of 1,000 years coming from Jacob's birth to the King David. And then from King David to King Jesus to Christ is another 1,000 years. Not 999 years, not 1,001 years, no, 1,000 years. We and a 2,000 year complete and going from the birth of Jacob right to the birth of Christ. We got 2,000 years in full. We got 3,200 years going from Gideon's death, bringing us to 1994. We have 3,900 years bringing us from Jacob becomes Israel in 1907, brings us to 1994. We have 4,000 coming from Jacob's birth, 2007 BC, and we have 4,000 years to 1994. We have the 1,000-year reign, which is literally 2,000 years, you know, twice told. We'll probably look at that a little later. But God speaks of 1,000 years, which is the completeness. It's not literal. Each and every one of us rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That, people are misunderstanding that totally. They think that Christ is going to come onto this planet and rule in this sin-cursed earth for 1,000 years for some reason. And let's see who turns up then. Well, they missed the whole gospel message altogether, didn't they? God doesn't sit around waiting for someone. No, he goes out and saves. We don't choose for Christ. Christ chooses for us. He makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So these, you know, all these numbers are just unbelievable and consistent and constant. And, you know, so then we have 23 years from the beginning of sorrow to 2011. And, you know, the time period of coming out is between 2001 and 2011. The cry went out that I heard was around 2001. That's when the cry went out. And that took time. Many people didn't leave their churches back then. It took time. Time came on. Oh, it's just a little city. You know, remember Lot and his wife. Remember Lot leaves and on his heels is destruction, and his wife turns around, and what does she turn to? Salt. This is a salted gospel. So he's fleeing, and he gets into this little city, and he stops, and he says to the Lord, "Lord, let me stay here. This is just a little city. Let me stay here." And so what happens? God says, "Get ye out," and he goes up into the mountain. But he dwells there for a while. But he's commanded to go out, and it takes time for people to see this. And again, everybody has to examine what's going on and to see if they're under the true gospel being taught. You know, are you really being under the true gospel? Do you have a salted gospel? Do you have a country club going on there? Have they totally taken away hell and damnation teaching? Totally? Because God doesn't permit that. You cannot bring the gospel without bringing the purpose of salvation and the payment that God had to pay. He had to endure an eternity in hell for each and every single one of us. Okay, so there's a payment to be paid. You know, this was not free. Penalty of sin is death, and the death that God has in view is hell eternal. Whatever that is, I don't know. So the question becomes, are we going to bring the whole gospel, or are we going to bring a partial gospel? We need to bring a gospel that's salted. People need to understand what they're being saved from. People need to understand the price that Christ has paid. God himself paid the price. He came down, became a man, and paid the price. In Christ Jesus dwelleth the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Okay, let's move on. We're looking at the Jubilee and a little bit on the calendar and a little bit on the dates. We see Leviticus. And then we'll read Leviticus about Jubilee, and then we'll probably end for the evening, and we'll pick back up next week. We'll look into the 2300 days next. After that, we'll look into the 1290 days and the 1335 days. Amazing, amazing pictures that's going to come out of these numbers. And then we're going to look at the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. People have been puzzling over this. This just recently came to me. I did not know or understand the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. I don't know anybody who understood it. And I'm sure today I'm not the only one who knows now. I'm sure God has opened the eyes of many. But now I understand the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. I believe I do anyway, and I could be in error, and that's okay. Thank God I'm not saved by knowledge. If we're saved by knowledge, we really got a problem. We're saved by grace, without repentance. We repent only because we became saved. We don't repent to become saved. You got a gospel, come up and choose, come up and make the declaration and choose for Christ, Again, you better dig deep on what they're saying there, because are they really bringing the right gospel? Are they bringing them up to Jesus? So we're going to look at all these things, and then we're going to look at the 153 fish. We're going to look at the 276 souls. And then we're going to get into the book of Revelation, and we're going to be tying into this calendar as time goes on and look at every little thing as we happen. And maybe we'll find some error as we go. Every time I've looked at this, I have found some error. The last couple of times I haven't found an error, but that doesn't mean it's not an error here. Okay, so let's finish off with the verses in Leviticus. And this is talking about the Jubilee. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years, that's 7 times 7, unto thee, 7 times 7 years, 49. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49. So he does all the math for us. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And so when we're looking at the Day of Atonement, you know, Christ is our atonement. That's the atonement, the Day of Atonement, the death on the cross, the penalty paid. So anyway, you sound the trumpets throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow, make holy, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth on of itself in it, nor grape, nor gather the grapes in it, or the vine undressed. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. That's the end of the world. That's standing in your lot, being on the right or on the left. And as I mentioned before, looking at the jubilees, you can see the important dates that this jubilee constantly falls onto. And then you see the jubilee of jubilees. That's the end of the world, tied in with two numbers that cannot be changed, moved, or in any way. And those two numbers are 1948, Israel going in leaf, becoming a nation. 1988, 40 years later, that number of testing. 2,300 days, which we're going to read about in Daniel 9 at some point. In fact, I think in this page is here. And brings it right to 1994. Pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. The Sabbath Jubilee, that's the Sabbath. There is only one Sabbath of years, and that's the Jubilee of Jubilees. 1994 is the beginning of the Jubilee of Jubilees. It's the 50th Jubilee. It's the Sabbath Jubilee. For 50 years, it's a Sabbath. So the pictures are really impressive and mind-boggling, really. Okay, so next time we come together, next week, we're going to pick up on the 2,300 days. We're going to break that up. We're going to start looking at different Bible verses that will help us to understand this. We're going to look into Daniel. Daniel has a lot to say about a lot of things in this 2,300 days, the abomination of desolation, the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. I mean, a lot of things, and it's all giving us time clues. It's tying together these dates. That constantly the calendar falls on this date, this date, this date, and all the numbers in between from one to another fit perfectly, okay? You know, there's no fudging going on here. Check it out yourself. And remember when you do the mathematics, you know, let me give you a quick example. It's very important to realize this, okay? If you're going to go from, let's say, let's pick up going in from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Let's take 7 BC. 7 BC going to 1994. Well, in order to see how many years that is, you take 1994 and you add 7 to it, and you come to 2001. And then you remove 1 because there is no year 0. And then you have exactly 2,000 years. Okay, and so you have to be careful. Whenever you go from BC to AD, And you add those numbers to find how many years it is. You gotta add the number, two numbers together, the two dates together, and then subtract 1 because there's no year 0. So you go one straight to 1. There's no year 0. All right. Anyway, that'll end us for tonight. We'll pick back up on this study, and again, we'll be picking up in the 2,300 days next Wednesday. All right. Good night, everybody. God bless. Lord willing, we'll see you next week.